Well, now to a discussion, a reminder about the way in which Iraq has worked in terms of tolerance, a condition we may not quite associate with the place.
Iraq is a very multi-religious, so we have lots of minority groups like Yazidis and Zoroastrians. All of those people lived in that area around Mosul, and they have all gone now. If this goes on too long, the destruction of all that was really positive about Iraq in terms of that multi-religious sentiment, that non-sectarian sentiment, the largely secular presence that was very present in many parts of Iraq, it will go, unfortunately.
Now that was Francis Guy 2 weeks ago on Saturday Extra, a former British diplomat now representing UN Women in Iraq, reminding us of something that seems pretty hard to imagine right now, that a whole mosaic of minorities with different belief systems coexisted pretty well in northern Iraq, some of it with exceptionally deep roots, of course, going right back to biblical times, and which seems to be unravelling right now, tragically. What's even less known is the impressive Australian involvement in this later phenomenon, which has partial roots in that period that started to grab our imagination so much, the era around World War I. I'll let my next guest explain it. Andrew Condon is joining us. He stumbled across the story while researching the formation of Legacy, the Widows and Children Support Group, by one of the key men involved in this whole operation, at the time by the name of Captain Stan Savage, originally from Victoria, who had a huge life. He became a Lieutenant General, he was knighted, and he won a DSO, a Distinguished Service Order, for his heroic efforts in Iraq. Andrew Condon has had a long career in the Australian Army, leaving with the rank of Colonel in 2007 after serving in Iraq and Lebanon, among other appointments. He's now CEO of Sydney Legacy, which, as I say, drew him by accident to the epic, frankly, Stan Savage story. Welcome to Saturday Extra, Andrew.
Good morning.
So the story goes back to the end of 1917, I understand, with all the turbulence of that year, the collapsing Ottoman Empire, when a range of people like Russians displaced by the Russian Revolution and other minorities, the Assyrians, the Armenians who'd been displaced by the Turks, they found themselves in this area that's northern Iraq today. What happened then?
Well, a slight correction to the story. They're actually in northwestern Persia, and the situation was that with the Russians pulling out of World War I with the Russian Revolution, there are a range of minorities that were continuing to resist the Ottomans, and a force by the name of Dunster Force was being established to try and reinforce this group to hold the line, to ensure that Germany and its allies couldn't get a land corridor through to India. So this force called Dunster Force was established. And with the establishment of this force, the Australian divisions on the Western Front were asked to produce their best captains and their best sergeants. So Australia nominated 20 sergeants and 20 captains, and they were described by General Birdwood at the time to be the cream of the cream. Similar numbers of captains and sergeants were also produced by Canada, New Zealand, South Africa, and the Brits. And this force was then delivered initially to Basra. They then sailed by riverboat up to Baghdad and then into Persia.
Right. And how does Stan Savage enter the picture, who I might add had served at Gallipoli, hadn't he?
Yes, he'd signed up just before Gallipoli. Was initially a private. By the end of Gallipoli in December 1915, he'd been commissioned in the field as second lieutenant. So by the beginning of 1918, he's a captain. He and a small force had travelled nearly 600 miles across Persia to link up with these various religious minorities that were resisting the Ottomans. By the time they got there, the resistance had collapsed and they were told to withdraw. He got wind of this group of 70,000 refugees that had been isolated and pleaded with the British command that he and a small force could go and rescue them. In the end, he was able to take on that mission, and through a range of very daring and innovative withdrawing defence manoeuvres, was able to extract close to 65,000 of those refugees out of northwestern Persia and get them back into what became the British Protectorate
of Mesopotamia,
British Protectorate of Iraq.
Which had been Mesopotamia,
and they were settled in the areas north of Baghdad, now northern Iraq, and so they were settled in big tent cities. The British set up a military hospital to look after them. So, all those minorities, the Assyrians, the Armenians, mountaineers from various nearby countries of Christian descent were essentially moved by this force into northern Iraq.
And he mounted this amazing rearguard action, extremely brave, didn't he? I mean, C.E.W. Bean's comment about him, the stand made by Savage and his eight companions that evening and during half of the next day against hundreds of the enemy, thirsting like wolves to get at the defenceless throng, was as fine as any episode known to the present writer in the history of this war.
Yeah, look, he was outstanding, very innovative, had done things like mask the size of his force by creating clouds of dust with the horses he had, or on another occasion, you know, he lit fires, got his eight troops to light fires for some distance along ridge lines to make it look like the whole British army had turned up. So he was very clever in how he managed that defence.
Ironically, Andrew, this is all documented in a wonderful inaugural speech to the New South Wales Parliament from a new member called Andrew Rowan, elected to the seat of Smithfield 3 years ago, who specifically acknowledged Captain Savage in saving the lives of his parents, which ultimately meant they came to Australia, which ultimately meant he ended up in Parliament.
Yeah, look, it's a great story, and it's amazing the way he devotes the first page of that speech to the whole reason he was standing there today was because of Stan Savage.
Yes. And then Stan Savage came home and he must have got the bug of rescuing people, as it were, because not terribly long afterwards, he set up Legacy.
Yes. He had a very strong passion for helping others, clearly, and particularly children was his particular focus. And from that passion and drive and commitment to honouring the memories of his comrades that didn't come home, he founded Legacy.
It's such an extraordinary story. I suppose there are quite a lot of people we just don't know about in Australian history. And, of course, that's what brought you into it, because you're a head of Legacy. Look, thank you. This is just a little snapshot of not more from World War One. Thank you for this history detective work.
Oh, you're welcome.
And I hope we hear more of the man who became Lieutenant General Sir Stan Savage and a great contributor to Australia over the next little while. And you could go to that speech by Andrew Rowan. It's in the New South Wales Legislative Assembly's Hansard, June the 1st, 2011. And we'll have a link to Stan Savage's own book, Storkey's Forlorn Hope, as well. So do welcome your thoughts.